Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyu. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
all the glory, all the honor, all the adoration we ascribe to you. We thank you that you became incarnate on our behalf. And we thank you for the change and the difference that you've made in our lives. This morning we celebrate you and we honor you and give you all the glory. We adore you. We know that if you hadn't been born, you couldn't have died. But you had to be born first so that you can die later on to carry out the redemption plan. And this morning, as we sit before you to receive your word, show us great and wondrous things in your law. And may we receive knowledge, insight, and understanding that will deepen our relationship with you, that will help us to serve you better, and that will help us to live a life that is worthy of you. Thank you for everyone under the sound of my voice this morning, in Jesus' mighty name. And let the people of God say, amen. Amen. Can you put your hands together for Jesus? God bless you, and you may be seated. And a Merry Christmas to all of us. Hallelujah. Well, tell the person sitting by you, Merry Christmas. Right. You know, there are some who argue, and I think we should sing some Christmas carols, okay? Before I preach the word of God. Otherwise, how would you know that it's Christmas? But, no, there are all these arguments and debates about whether we should celebrate Christmas or not. You know, because there are some Christians who feel that the main event that we should celebrate in Christendom is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Now, there is truth in that. But it's important to, as I said in the prayer, recognize that if Jesus hadn't been born, he couldn't have gone on to die. So, just as his death and resurrection is important, his birth is also very important. And it doesn't matter, you know, what you think about when exactly he was born. The important thing is that he was born. Hallelujah. All right. So that is why we celebrate Christmas. Let's sing some carols and remind ourselves of what the Lord has done. While shepherds watched their flocks by night, all seated on the ground, the angel of the Lord came down and glory shone around. How many know this Christmas carol?
Shepherds watch their flocks by night, all seated on the ground. Angel of the Lord came down, and glory shone around.
where a mother laid her baby in the manger for his bed. Mary was that mother mild, Jesus Christ a little child. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Which other one do you want to sing? We'll do Joy to the World at the tail end. Is that okay? Regina Santi, who named once in Royal David City? Ella, you don't know once in Royal David City? Hey! So which Christmas song do you know? Which one? Bro-nyo, 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 apiatu-yem-yo. Christmas! Christmas, Christmas, Christmas has gone come again. Regina, metu and one more wise. Yapon, I'm sorry now. Hallelujah. Amen. Turn your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 to 11. Fredo. you are playing once in Royal David. It always happens, don't worry. You know, those two carols, you tend to mix them up sometimes. Where did I ask you to turn to? Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 to 11. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation, as I usually do. The Bible says, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote, 'And you, O Bethlehem in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel.'" Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. And I want to share with you a sermon that I've titled, "The Greatest and the Most Perfect Gift of All Time." The greatest and the most perfect gift of all time. The greatest and the most perfect gift of all time. Amen. There are different characters who featured in the story of the birth of Jesus. Among these characters are these wise men that we just read about. Now, some have said that there were three wise men. Actually, the Bible doesn't say so. Because if you check the version that I read, it says some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem. It did not specify that there were three of them. But what we can say about them was that they brought three categories of gifts. First was gold, the second frankincense, and the third myrrh. And of everything that these wise men did, one of the most significant was that they brought gifts, special gifts, to present to Christ, the newly born King and Savior. Hallelujah. Now, gifts are very important. Is that not so? All right. How many would like to receive a gift in the next few days? You want to receive a gift today? Why? It makes you happy. Yeah, that's true. Gifts are important because they make you happy. Why else do you want to receive a gift? Today is a special day. So because of that, you must receive a gift. Is that not so? Only make sure that you give a gift to somebody too. All right? Because it works both ways. But gifts are very important. Gifts express love and gratitude. And gifts are also giving to bless other people. There are so many different reasons why gifts are important. And one of the things you have to understand about gifts is that gifts can make a room for you and can give you an opportunity. So Proverbs 18:16 says, a man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. That means it gives access. Your gift can give you access to important people. Hallelujah. So gifts are important. And the gifts that were given to Jesus were also very significant and very important. Once again, they presented gifts of gold, of frankincense, I almost said silver, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, tradition has it that the gold was given as a token of Christ's royalty. They recognized that he was a king, and gold is a symbol of royalty. Amen. So they presented the gift of gold to celebrate and to recognize the royalty of the infant king. Then frankincense is a fragrant incense that is used for sacrificial offerings. And the frankincense was given, it is believed, to recognize that Jesus Christ was deity. He was God. Right? So it is believed that that is why they offered the frankincense. And then the myrrh is a perfume or is an ointment. And it is believed that it was presented as a token of his future sufferings. So the gifts that they presented were all very significant and they were very special. But you know, my friends, I wonder whether when these wise men were presenting these gifts, did they realize that the one that they were presenting the gifts to was a special gift himself? Did it occur to them that we have brought gifts to present to the newly born king? But did it occur to them that this newly born king was a special gift? And not just that he was special, but also that he was the greatest and the most perfect gift that has ever been presented. Hallelujah. How do I know this? Look with me at John 3:16. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. What did he do? He gave his only begotten son. Which means that what did he give to the world? His son. And he gave his son as a gift. Hallelujah. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So for God so loved the world. Who loved the world? God. And who is God? The greatest person you can ever think of. The greatest person ever. The Bible says he so loved the world. That means that the love that he had for the world was not ordinary, was not little, was not small, but he so loved the world. And to demonstrate that love, what did he do? He gave, and he did not give an angel. He did not give Angel Michael. He did not give Angel Gabriel. He did not give any of the archangels in heaven. The Bible is specific about who he gave. And it says that he gave his only begotten son. Now notice that it was not as though he had 10 sons and decided to release one. That's not what happened. Even though the angels are sometimes referred to as the sons of God, there is only one person who is referred to as the only begotten son of God. Hallelujah. And that, ladies and gentlemen, was Jesus Christ. Now, if your child is disturbing, I'll suggest that you move towards the back because it distracts me. All right? Ideally, the children should have been in their service also. So help me. I am happy to have them around, but they must be controlled. All right? So please, if you realize that your child is creating a problem, just move quietly to the back so that I do not get distracted. Hallelujah. So God gave his only begotten son. So the greatest person ever demonstrated the greatest love ever by giving his only begotten son the greatest gift ever. So that is who Jesus was. He was the greatest ever gift that has ever been. Now, if you've received gifts before, you may have realized that the greater the love, the greater the gift. Does that make sense? The greater the love, the greater the gift. When your love for somebody is very great, when you want to give a gift to that person, usually you will give a great gift. Does that make sense to you? Then also, the greater the giver, the greater the gift. If the one giving the gift is great, of course, there are some very chiseled, great people who don't give much. Have you met any like that before in your life? They have money. But when they are dashing, they give you 10 CDs, 20 CDs, 5 CDs. And you go to them and you are expecting, how much are you expecting from them? How much? 10,000. And instead of 10,000, they give you 10 CDs. That one is also in the tens. Alright? So, but in a certain sense, usually, when all things are equal, the greater the person, or the greater the giver, the greater the gift. And we see in what Jesus, in what the Father did, that because he was the greatest, and because he had such great love for us, he decided to give us the greatest gift. May I submit to you this morning that there is no gift greater in all of the universe than the gift of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. You can put your hands together for this Jesus and celebrate him. Now, not only is he the greatest gift ever, or the greatest gift of all time, he is also the most perfect gift ever. Of the most perfect gift of all time. Now, for a gift to be described as perfect, it is believed that it must have three criteria, or it must have three features. What gift is a perfect gift? There are three things you are looking for. Number one, the gift should reflect the giver. The gift should reflect the giver. That's one of the criteria for a perfect gift. It should reflect the giver. In other words, when you see the gift, or when you look at the gift, you should see a lot about the one who gave it. Does that make sense to you? All right. Now, I have received several gifts in my life. In fact, as I look at myself now, I am a gift. Virtually everything that you see about me now is a gift. The ones that are not gifts are the ones that you cannot see. Now, take my glasses, for example. It's a gift. It was given to me by a couple the husband, you know, sells spectacles and he orders designer frames and everything. I just got a call from him one day that it is time to change your glasses. So I just went, did a test and everything. And then when it was time, he sent somebody to bring the glasses. And I was surprised. He brought me two pairs. All right. And they are very, very expensive. Very expensive glasses. And they are gifts. What I am wearing is also a gift. My watch is a gift. My shoes are gifts. And I want to tell those who gave me the shoes that it's time to get me another pair. So please, if you find them, tell them that they know me. If they leave me, I will wear these shoes. Because I don't really worry and bother too much about things. If you leave me, I'll wear the same thing all the time. You know. Where is Sewa? My daughter Sewa gave a message to my wife for me that I have some kaftan B. I shouldn't wear it again. I'm looking for her to tell her that I'll wear it. And I'll wear it again and again and again. And honestly, I don't really care about change of clothes and all of these things. So these things that I'm saying, I'm not soliciting for gifts. Alright? That's not what I'm doing. The only one that I'm soliciting for are the shoes. And that one, you see, Ekutiebia Nimura. Yeah, so she knows. All right. But you see, all these gifts that I just described to you reflect the givers. And it tells me a lot about them. It also tells me about how much they love me. It tells me about my value in their eyes. And it also tells me how important I am to them. So if a gift qualifies to be described as perfect, then one of the things that you will see about that gift is that it reflects the giver. Is that easy to understand? All right. Number two, the second thing that describes a perfect gift is that the gift should reflect knowledge of the receiver. The gift should reflect knowledge of the receiver. In other words, the gift should show that the giver really knows the receiver. Amen. That the giver knows what the receiver likes, his taste, his desires, and so on and so forth. So, for example, if on my birthday you bring me a pair of red shoes, it is very clear that you don't know me well, because I will never wear them. It's a matter of taste. So if you are thinking of getting me a pair of red shoes, change your mind immediately. Because you'll be very sad. I won't wear them. You wear them for me. You, dear, I know that you will wear them. Hey, James. Fashion sense. A few days ago, I saw a picture of my brother, my bosom pal, and my best man. I think he went to church last Sunday. They had a carol service also. He was wearing a green shirt with a red tie. I don't remember the color of the trousers. But what jumped at me and made me laugh was that he was wearing red shoes. Red! And you see, it's interesting, but God has made us very different. He's my best friend, but we don't have the same taste. Me, I will never wear red shoes. Never. For me, it will be like a very unusual form of punishment. Yeah, red shoes. So you see, if you want to give a perfect gift to somebody, it requires knowledge of the receiver. That you, the giver, must know the receiver very well. Hallelujah. And then the third criteria of a perfect gift is that the gift should be of such a nature and quality that it will hold its value even as time goes on. That means it's almost like it will always be valuable. That's a perfect gift. It will hold its value as time goes on, or with the passage of time. The gift should be of such a nature and quality that it will hold its value as time goes on, or it will maintain its value even with the passage of time. So there are different kinds of gifts you can give. If you give somebody gold, now that is a gift that would always remain valuable. Is that not so? Or diamonds. When the man finally decides to marry you, may he give you a diamond ring. Or you like platinum. I don't know. You don't know what platinum is. But it's also a very expensive metal. Alright? But a gift like that, gold, diamond, they maintain a certain way. The truth about a lot of gifts is that with the passage of time, they begin to lose their value. Now, somebody may give you a very beautiful lace dress or lace cloth. Very expensive. How much is the most expensive lace? 10,000. 10,000 for how much? Yes, I know. How many yards? 5 yards. 10,000 for 5 yards. Wow. Anyway, like they say, unisika usi a drone. When you don't have money, you find a lot of things outrageous. But watch yourself when you have a lot of money and you can afford certain things. That's when we will see that your problem all along was that now you don't get dough. But now where you get them, you are really showing us how to spend it. But take a nice piece of lace cloth, 5 yards, 10,000 Ghana cedis. It is very possible that in not so many years to come, that lace will not cost that much anymore. Is it true? Because what it is that as time goes on, new lace designs come up. So what was so valuable to you at the time it was presented, in some years to come, it may even be titile, and you wouldn't even like to wear it anymore. Hallelujah. So a perfect gift must maintain its value even with the passage of time. So I've given you three criteria of what a perfect gift is. What is the first one you have? The gift should reflect the giver. Number two, the gift should reflect knowledge of the receiver. And then the third thing, the gift should be of such a nature and quality that it will hold its value as time goes on. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus Christ is not the greatest gift ever alone, but he is also the most perfect gift of all time. If this is true, then it means that he must meet all these three criteria that I mentioned. So let's take them one after the other and relate them to Jesus. Number one, the gift should reflect the giver. Now, Jesus Christ reflected the Father, the giver. So in John 14 verse 9, Jesus was speaking to the disciples, and then he was telling them many things. Go to verse 8 for me, please, if you don't mind. He said so many things, and in verse 8, Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." And this was Jesus' response in verse 9. Jesus replied, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am?" And then he made this profound statement to him. "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." In other words, I reflect the Father. So that satisfies the first criteria for a perfect gift. Jesus Christ reflected the Father, and he reflected the love of the Father. He reflected the mercy of the Father. He reflected the kindness of the Father. He reflected the justice of the Father. So everything about Jesus reflected so many things about the Father and his attributes of love, his attributes of mercy, his attributes of kindness, his attributes of justice. So you can see from this that Jesus Christ fulfilled that requirement. Number two, we said that a perfect gift should reflect knowledge of the receiver. And Jesus Christ, who is God's gift to us, it's a reflection of our needs. Let me explain this to you, and I close. If we needed information, if that was our greatest need, the Father would have sent us an educator. If technology was our greatest need, the Father would have sent us a scientist. If money was our greatest need, the Father would have sent us an economist. Is that not so? If pleasure is our greatest need, the Father would have sent us an entertainer. But education is not our greatest need. Technology is not our greatest need. Money answereth all things, so the Bible tells us. But it is not our greatest need, because the same Bible says, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and yet lose his soul?" And pleasure is not our greatest need. What then is the greatest need of mankind? Redemption. And God knew us, the receivers of the gift that he was sending, that our greatest need was not education, our greatest need was not pleasure, our greatest need was not money, our greatest need was not technology. He knew that our greatest need was redemption. So who did he send to us? A redeemer. That is why the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18 to 19, New King James Version, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." F. Hallelujah. F. So you can see in these two verses the word redeemed, and it reveals what our greatest need was. Our greatest need, the greatest need of all mankind, was the need to be redeemed. Because our greatest problem was sin. And sin had brought death. And sin now was threatening to separate us for all eternity from the Father. And so the gift that the Father sent to us had to reflect his knowledge of us, the receivers, and what our needs were. So he knew that our greatest need was for redemption. So who did he send to us? He sent us Jesus, the Redeemer. So we sing,
there is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah. Oh,
Jesus, my Redeemer.
Jesus, my Redeemer. Name above all names. Oh, precious Lamb of God, Messiah.
Thank you, oh my Father.
Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit to help your
Father, the giver, he wanted to send us a perfect gift. And that gift had to reflect his knowledge of us. He recognized that what we needed most in this life was redemption. And he sent us the perfect gift. No, the most perfect gift that will meet that need. And that's why he didn't send an angel. That's why he didn't send any of the archangels. But he sent the most perfect gift that will best meet our needs. And number three, for the gift to be perfect, it must maintain its nature and quality, or hold its value as time goes on. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the gift of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus' value is eternal. Look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 to 12, the last verse, the last scripture. 1 John 5, 11 to 12, New Living Translation. And this is what God has testified. He has given us eternal life. And this life is where? Where is this life? All right. So he's given us eternal life. And the Bible is explaining that this valuable or invaluable or priceless gift of eternal life is in Christ Jesus. So it continues and says, whoever has the Son has life. And whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. So in the gift of Jesus that the Father has given to us, there is something priceless. There is something invaluable. There is something eternal that will never ever lose its value for all of eternity. That thing is in the gift that he gave to us, in the person of Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. Hallelujah. So in conclusion, based on everything that we have said, it is crystal clear that Jesus Christ is the greatest, and he's also the most perfect gift of all time that anybody can ever receive. Hallelujah. So anytime you think about Christmas, always have it at the back of your mind that that was the season when God decided to send to us the greatest and the most perfect gift ever. Celebrate Christmas. Eat all the things you want to eat. Drink all the things that you want to drink. And have fun. But in doing that, reflect on this important truth, that more than 2,000 years ago, God gave to all of mankind Jesus, the greatest and the most perfect gift of all time. Everybody say, incomparable. Hallelujah. Rise to your feet. And why don't we just take a minute or two to thank God for Jesus. I want you to say thank you to the Father. Tell him that, Father, this morning I recognize and I appreciate that you have given to me the greatest,
Jesus, thank you,
and the most perfect gift of all time. The greatest and the most perfect gift ever. That is what you gave to me. There is no gift in my life that can compare to this great gift of your beloved Son. My Lord, my King, my Savior, and I want to say thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for giving me this gift. Give him thanks and give him praise. Tell him I'm grateful. Tell him I'm grateful. That you gave me a gift that is the greatest gift ever, because it came for you from you, the greatest person ever, who showed me the greatest love ever by giving the greatest gift ever. I'm here to say thank you, Father, for giving me a gift that reflects you. It reflects your great love for me. It reflects your mercy, your kindness, your compassion, your goodness, your faithfulness, your justice, your righteousness. Thank you for giving me the most perfect gift ever. Tell the Father, thank you for giving me a gift that has retained its nature and quality throughout all of time. It's a gift that will never lose its value. A gift in the person of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I give you thanks. I give you praise and glory.
Your spirit, your flag, your
bowed and every eye closed. This morning, I want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. There are some special occasions that give us pause to reflect on our lives and where our lives are headed. There are certain occasions that should set us thinking about where we will spend eternity. And this is one of such occasions, the day that the Savior was born. And today, I want to give you an opportunity to receive this Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And wherever you are, I want you to pray this prayer with me, especially if you know deep inside you that you have never taken a quality decision to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Please pray this prayer with me and say, "Dear Lord Jesus,
dear Lord Jesus,
this morning
I come to you
just as I am. I realize, Father,
that you love me
with such great love that you gave me the greatest gift of all time and the most perfect gift of all time in the person of my Lord and Savior Jesus. Today, as we celebrate his birth, I bow my knees to Jesus and I receive him as my Lord and my Savior. I receive today the gift of redemption with great joy and gratitude from my heart. Father, please forgive me of all my sins. Please wash me with the blood of Jesus. Make me brand new. Write my name in the book of life. I thank you, Father, for hearing my prayer. I am saved. I am saved. I am born again. I am a child of God. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Put your hands.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.